all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's Pat Kreitlow.
And Aaron Zommers and Dr. Kristen Lyerly, all here on a Thursday morning. Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this February 23rd. Nice to have you along. Kristen's going to have her hometown health segment coming up later in the hour. Do you want to give us a little preview of what we're going to be hearing about?
Adolescent health. It's different than pediatric health. You know, your kids get to that point. They're not really little kids anymore. They're not quite grown-ups. They need a different kind of health care. I know just the people who are providing it. So we'll talk about that.
It sounds like you've got good people in mind who will be joining us to talk about those needs and ways to get it.
Dr. Sherry Hoyman and my favorite PA in the world. No offense to other PAs, but Kim Shevchik. She's pretty amazing.
So is this where we get into the difference between a PA versus what, an LPN? There's such an alphabet soup here. We're going to have to review all that at some point. But let's at least start with a PA.
Yeah, that would be a good topic to talk about because it is confusing.
You know, there's going to be another hometown health segment next week. Maybe that's where we go. Hang on,
PAs are physician assistants, and they go to PA school specifically. They don't have a nursing background, which is different than a medical background. It's a whole thing, Pat. We'll get into it.
We should. I got distracted because I realized I could finally open up the curtains. You know, the sun's up, and I'm guessing. It's not a foot yet, I don't think, but boy, it's still coming down hard over here on Lake Wissota.
We got nothing.
You said you had a foot.
No, I mean, like, it's not snowing.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's done. And I looked at the weather map, and it's like this big vacuous hole over Green Bay right now. So I don't know what's going to happen, but it's not what I was expecting. The kids are going to be very happy.
And Aaron gave us a very detailed report on the roads in South Central Wisconsin.
They suck.
There it is. Weatherology meteorologist Jennifer Pachitsky will join us in less than 10 minutes and tell us more about the storm that it's working its way through. And then we will have Luke Mathers joining us as well.
Wait a minute. I can't get out of my head Luke Mathers and Marshall Mathers. And I feel like Luke now needs some sort of an abbreviated nickname.
I think so. Yeah. We'll have to figure that out. Because I know when I first met him, and I like added his name in my phone and stuff. He's like, Luke. And I said, what's your last name? Mathers. Like Marshall. And I was like, ah, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it was right next to Marshall Mathers in your phone. That's crazy.
Yeah, you know.
So like instead of Slim Shady, you mean some other name? Like I would go with like Slim Goofball, you know, or something.
Something like
I guess
that.
We'll have to ask him because look, I've been playing his walk-up music has always been Luke Bryan, you know, because he's part of the co-host of Dueling Tangents along with some guy named Brian. But if we've got to go with Marshall Mathers, although we'll probably get 3 songs deep before we run out of any songs that we can clean up the lyrics for and not have to bleep.
Yeah, probably.
That's true.
Might have to stick with Luke Bryan. We'll just see. Let's see. Studio line 844-967-2789 or 388-7155. And our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. We were playing theme songs earlier, Kristen, in our last hour. I'd found a site called Network News Themes, and it's just the entire collection of nightly news and morning show themes from over the years. And we did get a comment from Roger Frost on Facebook mentioning that one of his favorite radio themes was ABC Radio's Speaking of Sports from the Howard Cosell days. And I know there were different variations, but ABC Radio was really big on themes. And we found one clip, Aaron, that I think might be what Roger's thinking of.
This is John Maher. Next, sports with Howard Cosell.
Hello again, everyone. This is Howard Cosell speaking of sports.
To tell you what, the theme was every when you heard that, I mean, you just knew you were about to hear Howard Cosell next. And what you were about to hear was intelligent and oftentimes cutting, but oftentimes well-deserved. In the last hour, I read a column from the Washington Post from Sally Jenkins about the disaster that is the LIV Golf Tour. And she's about as close as we have to Howard Cosell these days, but you know, solely in print that, you know, some people, their comments, you just take it to heart. And that's what Howard Cosell was to me. I don't know, Kristen, maybe you just thought he was a big goofball on, you know, Monday Night Football or something.
No, I remember him and Muhammad Ali going at it. and how it just seemed like it was no holds barred. I mean, obviously that environment was pugilistic. Can I use that big fancy word?
Yes, you can, doctor.
But they had such a great chemistry between the two of them that that's my biggest memory of Howard Cosell.
And that's just it. He had that kind of chemistry. He knew that he was bringing his journalism acumen to this, which again, when he speaks, it's based on research, it's based on interviews, but he understood the show business side to it as well, that you can be the smartest person about something, but if you can't present it, you know, it means nothing in the television era. And yeah, he totally understood that. And what was the other? Oh, you were talking about Wide World of Sports. We're still on ABC, but this time to ABC TV.
The thrill of victory.
You got that. There we go. And now Jim McKay.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport. The thrill of victory. And the agony of defeat.
That poor skier. You can still see him taking a digger right off the ski jump. And that's how we know him from now on.
I wonder how many budding ski jumpers just decided not to go down that path because of that.
they can hear the music, and you saw that every weekend when it was playing through. But again, that's the power of a theme song. And face it, there just aren't that many. So many TV shows now have to get right into it that we don't have the theme songs like we used to. But you know, they're still out there, just fewer of them. All right, take a break. More after this. You're up north. Babe, we're just going for the Groundhog Day theme, you know, again, because when he does finally wake up, it's, you know, the snow is out there, and it's going to have that feeling for a few days. This snow isn't going anyplace anytime soon. And Jennifer Pachitsky from Weatherology joins us now to tell us what's come down so far and where we're going from here. Jennifer, what were your impressions? Did this thing live up to its billing, and how are things looking out there?
Yeah, so it doesn't look like it was as much snow as originally anticipated, but it still was quite a lot, and it looks like snowfall totals around Wasatch seem to be around about 10 inches of snow, Eau Claire about 7, Oshkosh 8 inches, and it looks like Wisconsin Rapids about 7.5, so it looks like a lot of locations ended up getting a decent amount of snow, a little bit higher amounts around Amory and Baldwin as well, and it's still not quite done. We still have that winter weather advisory till about 9 a.m. for the southern portions of the state, Waukesha through Milwaukee, and then a winter weather advisor extended till about noon for Madison, and still an additional about 2 to 3.5 inches of snow and sleet mixing combo here that this morning. Not much more that's what fell there earlier, and not much more expecting to fall here for the rest of the day today, but that winter weather advisory is still there, a little bit on the windy side. Might see some areas of blowing snow from what had fallen here from the storm yesterday and in last night as well. Winter storm warning in effect till noon for much of the rest of the state, actually. So looking at an additional about 2 to 3 inches more of snowfall in the central portions of the state, 2 to 5 inches closer to the western portions, Amory, Baldwin as well. And so if you're a little bit closer to, or if you're traveling a little bit closer to Lake Superior around Ashland, they still have that blizzard warning till about noon, and they ended up getting about 16 to 18 inches of snowfall. So ooh, definitely something to keep in mind. Still a lot expecting, still a few inches of snow expected for much of the state through the noon hours today, and things kind of calm down. And it looks like a cold front's going to come in. A lot of temperatures dropping here in the overnight hours into tomorrow. It's going to be a kind of our coolest day of this forecast here for tomorrow. And then things start to warm back up here for the weekend for much of the state. Also expecting to finally see some sunshine coming in as well, and temperatures getting either at or a little bit above average as well.
Look, it's a lot of snow, I grant you, but I still feel like we got off easy because we're not in that ice band. One of my daughters lives in Kalamazoo, where they were expecting that, and sure enough, the power went out, and the power might still be out in some parts. So we at least missed that part of it that I'm sure is affecting other parts of the Midwest, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, snow is snow, and it can certainly be dangerous as well, but I feel like at least it's a little bit better than the power outages due to ice. Ice is just really difficult to deal with.
Yeah, no doubt. Jennifer, thank you so much. Have a great day. We'll look forward to a weekend update from you coming up tomorrow morning.
Sounds great. Thanks.
All right. Weatherology meteorologist Jennifer Vachitsky joining us there. I've been working, Jennifer, you know, joined the show this week, calling in with these daily forecasts. And again, we're coming back to the punchkis, Kristen, that you have to, again,
that's exactly punchki, what I was thinking as I was
punchki
looking at her
last name. Spelled P-A-C-Z-K-I. Uh-huh. So, you know, spelled like it sounds, punchki, of course. And the same, you know, goes for Jennifer. I didn't want to put her on the spot here, but, you know, her last name is W-O-J-C-I-C-K-I. And I've been working with watching video clips, and I'm pretty sure she's been saying Vachitsky, but I better check it with her and check out whether she's been having punchkis or not too. So I've got questions to ask her about starting tomorrow, but I didn't want to step on the importance of today's snowstorm. And you were thinking of driving across the state today. I hope you're not anymore.
Yeah, my plan was to take Highway 29 straight west into the eye of the storm.
Yeah, no.
Because I have to work. I have a long shift in southwestern Minnesota where they're currently under a blizzard warning.
I was going to say southwestern Minnesota. You can't drive there either.
Oh, they've got it under control. I'm going to drive there.
Well, tomorrow. They can. I mean, look, a lot of folks telecommute. I mean, an OBGYN. Can telecommute.
Push, right?
I'm telling you. As the delivering mom puts a foot through the screen to, you know, shut everybody up. No, it doesn't work that way, does it?
You would be surprised though. We do a fair amount of telemedicine, like high risk consults and advice and NICU advice. If a baby is born that needs a little extra help and we don't have that expertise at some of these rural outposts, we dial into some of the higher acuity centers and they help us with management issues. So there is some of that.
Oh,
but
sure.
The hands-on we can't do.
The hands-on is really important. That moment of birth thing. I mean, they've done a lot with these robots, but let's not get crazy here. We've talked already that there are going to be mayor's races in April in Green Bay and in Madison, and we should mention as well the 8th State Senate District in the Milwaukee area, where longtime Republican incumbent Alberta Darling retired in December. That necessitated a special election in April, and it will be longtime State Assembly Rep Dan Knodel emerged from the Republican primary and will take on a Democrat Jody Habersynnikin. And that is a seat that has been trending more Democratic over the years, but again, still has a slight Republican majority. But Kristen, we talked to Jody a couple of weeks back about her campaign, and I think you would not be wise to count her out in that district.
I really like Jody. She's a political newcomer, but she has been around for a long time doing a lot of work on environmental issues in the nonprofit space. She's an attorney. She's a mom. She gets it. And she recognized that this is her time to step up. Her community needs her. So I'm really proud of her for doing that. I know how uncomfortable it is to be a first-time candidate. She, I think, really shines and will make a difference in this area.
Yeah, it, again, very competitive in, I guess you could call around the northern edge of Milwaukee, in the suburbs there is where that district is, and a big race on April 4th. We have been used to hearing about Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell during his campaign for state Supreme Court. Now, he was one of the four candidates, but with Janet Protasiewicz advancing and former Justice Dan Kelly advancing, Judge Mitchell pretty much returns to his day job now in Dane County. And in fact, his name came up in the news as part of a high profile case where Judge Mitchell cited the conservative Supreme Court as the reason that he could not hold a government official accountable who refused to turn over public records when requested. That was the story I'm looking at from Laura Schulte of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And of course, we're talking about our friend Fred Prehn, the squatter who stayed on the Natural Resources Board long after his term expired, Kristen, just giving transparency and government a bad name.
That's so frustrating. Like, come on, play nice, common sense.
And yet the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which earlier had upheld his ability to stay on the board, even though his term expired because the state Senate hadn't confirmed a successor. So basically a loophole there. Well, in a separate case, one involving public records, again, the conservative Supreme Court said that if a records custodian for a government office were to withhold public records, and then the person seeking the records sued to get them, but then that government official turned over the records before the court could impose any fines, then there couldn't be any fines imposed. When
wait a minute. Well, like, all that, just kidding?
Yeah, yeah, just kidding. I withheld these from you. You had to pay a lot of money to hire a lawyer. You had to sue me. And now that I'm about to be found guilty, you know what? I'm going to give you these. And according to the state Supreme Court, they're like, yeah, no problem here. Nothing to see. And wow. So there's less incentive than ever for public records keepers to comply with open records requests. And so in what might be one of the few shining moments of bipartisanship in the state legislature, at least I hope so, that Republicans and Democrats are going to get behind a bill that would change that, basically, that would say that if a judge determines that the requester's lawsuit was needed in order to get the records released, then yeah, they can try to recoup the legal costs that are involved. It just should not be that, it shouldn't be that difficult to get records that belong to the public.
No wonder our legal system is so slow and just hard to work with, because there's so much extra stuff that they shouldn't actually have to do. You know, like mm-hmm. we should have processes that just work. Like, your term is over, so go away.
Yeah.
Enough of these tricks. And instead
he didn't. And so a group, Midwest Environmental Advocates, tried to get communications between Fred Prehn and other members of the Natural Resources Board. And if it hadn't been for that suit and the records that were released elsewhere as part of the suit, we might not have known the extent to which Fred Prehn was conspiring with those Republican senators, even former Governor Scott Walker, as part of a plan to say, yep, if you stay there, then Governor Evers can't get his appointees on there. It was quite literally a conspiracy by Republican members of the state Senate to, again, thwart the will of the voters who elected Tony Evers governor. And so he should be able to have his choice of people on the cabinet and on the Natural Resources Board and in other areas. And many of his appointments are still bottled up in the state Senate. And it's amazing that they've been allowed to get away with it for that long.
One of many conspiracies to suppress the voice of the people. That's been the theme these past few years in Wisconsin. But we're changing it, because the people they're understanding. They're starting to recognize that the structure in place is not allowing them to have the government and the life that they want. I love it. I think we're moving in the right direction, Pat. I feel optimistic.
This is why you're the chief morale officer of Up North News Radio. Somebody's got to remind us that, you know, what's the old saying? The arc of justice, or the whatever it is. Now I feel like George W. Bush. We can't get fooled again.
Something about long and bending toward justice.
Yes. look, and we'll stay on that. And look, actually, that leads me to one more thing before we get to Hometown Health, is that you and I were part of the podcast that Kirk Bangstad continues to do through the Minocqua Brewing Company on Wednesday nights. And that's because he had a very special guest, Jim Obergefell of Obergefell v. Hodges, the 2015 Supreme Court decision that ruled that same-sex marriage is legal in the state, and it's legal in every state, not a patchwork of state-by-state, you know, marriage laws. And one of the things that was your question actually was about how sometimes that arc bends, but it bends very slightly, and you may not be the one that reaps the benefits of it. Somebody else might, but it's all because of the fight that you were willing to engage in.
And it wasn't his intention to engage in this fight. All he wanted to do was marry his longtime partner of over 20 years, who was dying of ALS. He just wanted to die a married man. So they literally chartered a medical flight, flew to Maryland where they could get married, got married on the plane, and flew back to Ohio, which is where a civil rights attorney explained to them that in Ohio, their marriage would not be recognized and he would still die a single man. And that was what inspired him.
And so that inspired a case that led to it being recognized across the country. But now we've gone a step backwards for women's health with a state by state patchwork of abortion rights or lack thereof.
That's how you're going to end the segment? Just dangling like that?
That this is the challenge we still face. Hometown Health is coming up next on Up North News Radio.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow. I'm just a kid,
and life is a nightmare. I'm just a kid, I asked Aaron to find us something that sums up how tough it is to be an adolescent. Well done, Mr. Thomas. Good work out of you. All right, it's time for Hometown Health. Dr. Lyerly, each week at this time, brings us some guests that are doing wonders in trying to make sure an entire community can stay healthy, get answers to their questions. And this time we are talking about a particular age demographic and a special focus from a clinic in Northeast Wisconsin, Kristen. So tell us more about that as you introduce our guests this week.
Boy, do we have a treat for you this morning. So we've got Dr. Sherry Hoyman and Kim Shevchik, PA extraordinaire, and they have used their talents and their friendship, I should add, over many years to pull together a really unique clinic. So those of us who are parents who have had young children who've seen pediatricians recognize that our kids get to that point where maybe a pediatrician isn't the best person for them, but maybe they're not quite ready to see a grown-up doctor. And recognizing this all those years ago, Kim and Sherry came together and decided to create an incredible adolescent clinic. So Kim and Sherry, welcome to Hometown Health. Tell us about your clinic.
Gosh, now it's like rock, paper, scissors. Who goes first? Right?
You take away. Yeah, well, thank you for having us. This is really a treat to be here, actually. We're super excited about our clinic. And as you said, it's kind of been a long time coming. Kim and I, about probably, I don't know, Kim, what was it, about 8 years ago, we went to a conference. We, you know, as friends, we thought, oh, it'll be fun to go to a conference together. And we did have a lot of fun there, I will say. But we also sure did learn a lot. And our big takeaway was, boy, there's a lot we could do for adolescents in our area. And what if they had their own space and their own clinic to go to for all of these things that adolescents have to make them much more comfortable? And, you know, not in the, you know, I am a pediatrician, so I'm happy that adolescents want to see me as a pediatrician. But, you know, sometimes in the pediatrician's office, you see a lot of kind of baby decor, and, you know, in some of my rooms, there's farm animals on the walls, and, you know, there used to be Dora the Explorer, and, you know, different characters that are appropriate for the young age. But, you know, as you get to be older, you can laugh about it, but it still doesn't feel so comfortable to be sitting in those rooms.
Yeah, to have your own space is important at whatever age group. I mean, I'm going on a beach vacation next month, and I was telling my wife, I would like very much to find a beach where everybody there is in their late 50s. I don't want to be walking around shirtless with a bunch of people in their 20s. That to me would be the Dora the Explorer stickers on my doctor's office wall. And you want that place where, again, it's your own space, it's your own comfort. Kim, tell us more about that, about your discussions with Sherry and why you think having a kind of a standalone place like this is so important.
Well, we were at a conference on pediatric and adolescent gynecology, and you can imagine how awkward those stages and phases of life can be. And we kind of went, you know, it's awkward enough to have to come in. What if we created a space that was less awkward, that it felt a little bit more like home? And if you walk into our space, if you're an adolescent, you start to notice things that feel like your vibe, like your place. We really went kind of and broke the mold of the typical Belin colors and Belin, you know, design, and made a lot of artistic and visual changes that may seem really little, but they're huge. You know, adolescents come in and they're used to technology. They're used to having something to scan as a QR code. And so we've tried to make that that space feel less awkward for them. And then also understanding that parents are often coming in too. So we make sure that we see them with their parents when they come with parent or guardian. And then we have time alone with the adolescents so that we can talk and get to know them better.
And your background is women's health. Sherry's background is pediatrics. Thinking about young girls as they are developing and they get to that point, you know, 11, 12, 13, we're talking about periods. We're talking about potentially 14, 15, you know, onset of sexual activity. There are so many things that need to be discussed that are really hard to talk about. Tell us how you approach some of those sensitive subjects with your patients, recognizing that they're a really vulnerable population.
I personally have found if I just let them talk, they're not used to having a space where they get to just talk because they were used to coming into the pediatrician's office and, you know, often their parent talks for them. So it doesn't always happen. The conversation doesn't always come out with the parent, although we sometimes try to bring it up. You know, a lot of times we'll ask about periods, any concerns with periods, and then often, you know, mom or dad or grandma will chime in. But when we have the parent go to the waiting room, often, you know, the patient comes out and really speaks about what their concerns are. I always try to ask about school, any issues with school. And that's also when things come up. I think it's hard for some, even though they're so much more open about periods and menstruation and tampons and all of that, they're used to talking about it, not hiding that tampon of shame like we did when we were growing up. But it's still a conversation that feels uncomfortable for them to talk to an adult. But once we give them that stage, it's amazing to me. I don't know, Sherry, if you would say the same thing. I feel like they're bringing it up.
Yeah, I would say the same. And I also think the fact that we're so comfortable talking about it and it's just so normal, natural. And, you know, even adolescent boys and talking about the things that they're going through, it's just part of life. And so we just talk about it like that's the way it is. It's part of life. And let's try to make it as easy for you as possible and answer any questions you have about it. So
I had a patient tell me recently that, do you like specialize in awkward? And I said, you know what? I think that's going on my tombstone. She specialized in awkward.
Knowing you, I think that's perfect.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
So, Sherry, how do you approach patients differently in a setting like this than you would in your traditional pediatric setting?
I don't know that I approach them completely different, to be honest, at this age, but I think that there's just the comfort level of where they are and what's surrounding them. And it's pretty obvious when you walk through the space that we accept everyone and anyone, and anything's fair game to talk about in that space. So I feel like the space opens to more conversation, but you know, I always start my visits by telling teens that my job is to keep you happy, healthy, and safe. So let's try to figure out how to make that happen. And you can tell me anything and everything. And while I love your parent being here, I don't need your parent here for most of the things that you may want to talk about. And I can keep things confidential if you tell me that you're safe and that you're not hurting your body, and I don't have any concerns about those things. So, and you know, I definitely try to keep parents involved in the teen's care in every way possible. But we all know there are teens out there that wouldn't come get help if they didn't know that things could be kept confidential. And so we do honor that for them in that situation.
I think that safe space that you create is absolutely critical for this population. And I think that we've always known that, but actually creating that physical space has a giant impact. And never before in the state has it been more important for people to have a place where they can come and talk about questions and things that they're hearing in the world and get good, accurate information.
And to do so, as I think it was Kim that mentioned, you were able to break out of the corporate palette. You know, that every corporation has a brand book. And so, Kim, for you to mention that you could make it look more welcoming to adolescents and not necessarily stick with the corporate colors. I mean, I'm sure other folks are looking at you going, what kind of rebels are you? How did you manage to talk them into it? But clearly your discussions with other folks at Belin held sway about the importance of that.
Yeah, we were fortunate to work with the Adolescent Health Institute. We had a grant, actually, in order to become kind of gold star providers of adolescent medicine. There were certain criteria that we needed to meet to satisfy that grant application. And Belin fully supported us to create that safe space, as well as respect, you know, all of the people that come through our door. So that means, like Dr. Hoyman said, doesn't matter what you're coming in for, who you are, who are you bringing with you, and then making sure that, you know, that we really strive to just do what's best for our patients. And we were just very fortunate that, you know, the timing was right. Belin was on board. We had support from this grant initiative to do things a little bit differently. And they're little things. I mean, I have people ask me all the time, like, well, what do you mean an adolescent clinic? And what does that look like? And it's kind of hard to describe unless you see it. But I have teens all the time that come in and they sit down in the exam room and they look at the walls and they look at the little, you know, I guess, you know, insightful phrases that we've put on the walls and little pictures. It's such a nuanced thing, but it's real. And patients perceive that.
Mm-hmm. And the colors, I think the coloring that we used, it's not the typical, you know, beiges and the greens and purples that some places have used. We've really kind of broken the mold completely, and bright colors, tie dye, you know, there's boards they can write on if they want with chalk or markers, and give us their insight into things. There's signs up saying we welcome everyone. So it definitely is it's a warm, inviting space, but fun also. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, we had adolescents help us with it. We started doing some things and said, what do you think? Should we do it differently? And, you know, got a lot of great advice from them as well.
So in our final couple of minutes, we probably can't talk to all three, all the groups, doctors beyond Belin, administrators, certainly adolescents, and then parents. But let's just focus on the parents of adolescents who are not in your area. And so they will not have this kind of a specialized clinic, but they still want their teen or preteen to, you know, get the most out of their healthcare. What are the things that those parents should know about their adolescents' health and healthcare and doctor visits? When you see parents, what is the one thing that maybe you think they should change, or the one thing that they should always keep in mind to do? Kim, you want to start that?
Well, that is an excellent question. As a parent of two adolescents actively going through that phase, man, just one word: listen, listen, and truly give them time to talk. I think, you know, we were all on those drive home, you know, well, before they're driving themselves home and they're in that vehicle with you, that is one of the most golden moments of your life. And you just have to listen. And then also, I think the second piece I would say is allowing them to start that transition into adulthood, encouraging them to take that brave step out of the nest and saying, you know what, you have an appointment today. These are the things that you will probably be asked, and I want you to take the lead. How do you feel about that? You know, just checking in with them and giving them those little nudges.
Our job as parents is not to protect them forever. It's to teach them how to live in the real world. And that's incredible. Sherry, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with everything Kim says. Honestly, I tell parents that all the time. Anytime you have the opportunity to drive your kids somewhere and just listen to what's happening in the back seat with their friends, that's huge. You're going to learn a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's something you file away and you talk about at a different time. You don't talk about it then. Give them space, you know, and pick your battles and make sure you, you know, find the things to talk about at the right time. And, you know, if your child's not in the right mood, it's not the right time to start opening a big can of worms to talk about. But, you know, I think listening and watching, if your child is, if your adolescent is starting to do things that are different, you know, not their typical, skipping out on sports that they loved so much before, those are things you just need to pay attention
look,
to and
look for
and
those think, key you know, indicators. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Sherry Hoyman, Kim Shefchik, thank you so much. We really appreciate the visit. Kristen, thanks so much for bringing some great guests here once again.
We have some incredible things happening in our communities, and all Sherry right. and Kim are those people.
And thank we'll be you. Back with Luke Mathers after this. You're up north.
Hi, my name is
Luke Mathers. My name is,
the my bit name doesn't is, work if Mathers isn't here.
Oh, Luke, oh, it was going to be so good.
It was going to be awesome. We just got done talking about the names and everything that was similar. And
you know, now, we kind of blew it because we could have saved it for a future show, but no, we did it. And he probably will know about it now.
I don't know. I don't know that he follows us that well. It's, you know, he's a very hardworking man who's got plenty of other things to deal with. Had he been here, had I maybe shared the link to the show so he could join us? Because that might be on me this time. But if that were the case, he would have told us about some of the excellent shows that we have on these Civic Media stations, including Charlie yes. Behrens and the Cripes Cast. And Aaron sometimes at this point talks about what's on the Cripes Cast because he helps to prepare it for the weekend. But Aaron appears to have a technical difficulty as well and cannot tell us about it, Kristen. So we're just kind of in the dark right now on all of this.
This is where that sign language would have come in handy.
Yep. Oh, wait a minute. I just got a text from Luke sending him the link, you know, and apologizing. And here's the note I just got back. Shoot, it's Thursday. I'm outside de-icing the driveway so that we can leave for work. Sorry.
Wait. Can I get a show of hands from our listeners who, yeah, right. who kind of forgot what day it was because it's a snow day and everything's all messed up this week. Like, I don't think Luke is alone.
All right, fine. We'll let him have this one. Plus, mm-hmm. it takes me off the hook for maybe forgetting. Although I would have expected a note from him saying, hey, you going to send me the link so I can come join you?
It's and snowy, Pat, and that's throwing Luke off his game.
Yeah, no. Well, no doubt. And again, all of us will have to at some point. I'll be doing it on my own. You have an army of small men. Mm-hmm. I should say young men. They're not
They're
necessarily
big men.
Small. They're big men now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just so used to saying tiny humans when I'm talking about kids because it's usually about my younger grandkids. But yeah, you've got young strapping men who
Some
are going to get out there.
I've got a couple adolescents.
Do they have they had to do this much this winter? I'm wondering if they gel as a team or if it's going to quickly deteriorate into half the driveway's done and the other half is snow angels and snowballs.
We have not done team snow clearing yet this year. Mm-hmm. We're going to see how it goes.
Okay, good.
I have a huge driveway, so we could be out there for hours.
Are you going to be doing your part or are you supervisory?
Well, that depends on how things go.
In other words, if they goof off long enough, eventually mom has to say fine and get some of the work done yourself.
I like shoveling. Okay. I it's kind of zen for me. I put on some music or a podcast and I just like do my job.
Wait. You just said that you have a big driveway, mm-hmm. but no look who's on the phone now. Let's see if mm-hmm. Let's see if Mr. Mathers can chime in on this one in just a second. But do you not have a snowblower or anything like that? Is it always shoveled?
I do have a snowblower, but I just don't really like to use it. I would rather, if I have the time, I would rather just shovel. It's good exercise.
Okay. All right. That sounds Preference. Fun. All right. Well, let's see if I can put Mr. Mathers on without waiting for Mr. Zommers to screen him in there. Luke, are you there?
Yeah, I am here. I'm going to chuck it up. I didn't get the Zoom or the new link until right
about 8 seconds ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're deciding who's to blame for this. And I guess it'll have to be, we'll have to share it since you went and forgot what day it is. Kristen's letting you off the hook though. It's Kristen says on a snow day, you can be forgiven for not knowing what day it is.
Perfect. Perfect. That is, I appreciate that, Dr. Lyerly. I do appreciate the leniency for homeroom.
I got your back.
and Aaron's got a microphone issue, so we can't hear from him about the Cripes cast for this weekend. But I know that you can tell us a bit more generally about what else we can hear for the rest of this week from Mr. Behrens and Gilbert Brown and others. So what's in the Luke Mathers brag book this week for Civic Media?
Well, yes, the Cripes cast will be this weekend at noon on both Saturday and Sunday. Charlie Behrens is joined by another comedian. Her name escapes me, but they talk about stand-up comedy, the routines. Charlie Behrens' first stand-up special was released on YouTube last night. So if you're interested in getting even more Charlie Behrens content, you can now check out his Midwest debut stand-up show on YouTube. That premiered last night. Gilbert Brown and the Gravedigger, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, for 1 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. And then we've just had a very busy week around the Civic Media team, Pat. As I'm sure you saw the announcements last week, we are going to be acquiring new stations in 4 new markets and continuing to fill in that coverage map. So a lot of work to be done surrounding that, but stations coming.
Yeah, let's talk about that announcement for a second, because there was a perfectly fine article in the Cap Times about Civic Media and the work that's being done to grow, and then there was an article in Urban Milwaukee by Bruce Murphy, and I could have picked on Todd Alba yesterday, but I know it wasn't his fault. But the article talked about how in the newly acquired stations in Eau Claire and La Crosse, that, you know, they described Todd Alba as the morning host. And I'm like, hang on a second here. There is another morning host before 8 o'clock in the morning. And apparently I got to do more to get in good with Bruce Murphy over at Urban Milwaukee.
He doesn't know what a big deal the Kreitlow name is in Wisconsin.
Maybe he doesn't have an alarm clock and gets up after 8 o'clock, and maybe he has to shovel his driveway like Luke and Kristen's kids over here. So whatever the case may be.
Consulted on the article, so I apologize. You can't take that one up with me. That's going to have to entirely be with Bruce Murphy.
That's totally just me. And if I haven't yet this week, if I don't get to be a diva once a week, you know, then I don't really get to have a show in Morning Drive Radio. You have to throw your weight around now and then. Now, is this driveway, this mythical driveway that you're working on? This is in Sunny Pea, right? Beautiful Sun Prairie.
Yes.
Okay. Is it a big deal? Is this like a 2-hour job?
No. Chelsea and I are almost done. She just came back in to kind of be like, hey, it's time to move more cars. Let's get the car moved so I can finish. So she took.
Oh, I suppose. Yeah, because she's got to get to work too, I suppose. So you're actually making her tardy right now. Fine.
No,
you know what?
Not necessarily.
Somebody doesn't mind being inside where it's warm and dry for another minute or two. That's just fine. Luke, you're a good man. You're a good partner. You're a good homeowner. You're lousy with a calendar and a clock, but beyond those things, we truly appreciate all you do for the burgeoning Civic Media empire, and including this semi-weekly visit to tell us what's going on out in radio world. Thank you for that.
Absolutely. Glad to be a part of it. And I have to bug Aaron for the new link before 2 minutes before the appearance for future weeks.
You wanting to be so prepared. You're so silly. Forgetful Luke Mathers, everybody. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. You as well, right. Pat. And you as well, Dr. Lyerly.
Yes, Dr. Lyerly, you have a wonderful day. Y'all drive safe. Thanks for being here. And we'll see y'all 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.